Am I tripping?
You might be tripping.
I'm looking up. I'm back checking you on this.
It had a script by a man called Arthur C. Clarke, and it was directed by Stanley Kubrick.
So I'm going to be telling you about the CIA and...
CIA? Oh, what does the CIA stand for? Stands for the Central Intelligence Agency.
Hi everyone, it's Star again, coming back with another disclaimer for this week. Just wanted to say yet again that please do not use this podcast as a reliable source. We try to do as much research as we can, but unfortunately, we just cannot confirm that everything we say is 100% fact. Well, enjoy the episode now, and I hope you like it. Hey guys, it's Star, and welcome back to the Conspiracy Circle. I'm here again with Brody and Evan, and today we are going to be talking about... We're doing government-related theories this week.
We are, yes.
Yeah, so I am going to be starting this time instead of Brody, because it's a circle. We're going to go around and have...
It's somewhat of a circle. For the people watching, it's close enough.
Exactly.
Right, you want to take this?
Okay, yeah. Let's just get stuck into it.
Let's go.
So my conspiracy theory is going to be about the moon landing.
Right.
And how, you know, I mean, everyone's heard about it. Everyone's heard that it's probably, well, not probably, but a lot of people think it's
Some people definitely think, yeah.
Oh, for those who don't know what the moon landing is, could you please explain that for us?
Of course, I will explain. So in the 1960s, America was finally able to put men on the moon. It was Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong.
Yeah.
And everyone knows it.
Was there not another guy?
What?
Was there not another guy?
No, I don't believe so.
Sure, there was three.
Think you're tripping.
Am I tripping?
Think you might be tripping.
I'm looking up. I'm back checking you on this.
I'll keep talking. So they sent them to the moon. And everyone knows the phrase, one large step. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. I mean, that's what everyone thinks.
It's a classic.
But exactly. It's a classic. Everyone thinks that's what... What?
I was wrong.
What did I say?
I'll own up to it. Sorry, you go.
Anyway, okay. So, really, with the moon landing conspiracy theory, it's actually not that it's just the first one that was fake. Many people believe that it was that one that was fake, but also loads from the 70s.
Right.
I mean, and that was when it first started popping up that people thought maybe it would be fake.
Right.
In the 70s. It came from a book called We Never Went to the Moon, America's $30 billion swindle, which was published by a guy called Bill Casing, who's a former US Navy officer. So he has a bit of...
So he has some power, you know?
Yeah, he's in there. He's in that kind of... He's in the kind of circles that, I mean...
Was he still a US Navy officer at the time, though?
He was not.
It must have been just a nutcase, then.
Ooh. Is that what you think?
I think he's just a nutcase. Seen one too many UFOs and...
Well, it's possible. Maybe. It is possible.
Maybe. So, yeah. The book basically claimed that the chance of a successful crewed landing, because some places, like that, what I'm going to get onto later... with Russia and stuff like that. Loads of places had uncrewed landings on the moon. Like, they would just send...
Robots,
they would just send a shuttle up to see if it was safe enough.
Right.
But this was the first successful crewed landing
with
Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong. But it was calculated in this book that it was a 0.0017% chance that it would happen.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus, yeah.
And it was really, really closely monitored by the USSR as well. So it would have been easier for NASA to fake it, really,
than
just do it.
Okay, yeah.
Because that's one of the main theories, is that it was due to the space race.
Right, that's what's why.
So we'll just get flat onto that now.
Interesting.
So basically, the main theory saying why the moon landing would be fake is called the space race. Now, the space race was, it happened in the 60s, and it's traced back to the Cold War, Russia v... America.
So was it just Russia and America who were?
It was really just them, just going head on head.
USSR, China or anything.
Well, no, not at this time. They weren't as much as a world power as they are today.
Right.
So landing on the moon at that point, because they were basically both of the countries were neck and neck with their technological advances in like spacecraft. And it was literally just a space race to see who could get to the moon first with people. And so it was just viewed as, like, this amazing accomplishment to be the first person.
Yeah. So was it kind of also a bit of, like, a bragging right kind of thing, saying,
oh, 100%, we did it first? Really it
like,
is,
kind of like an ego thing between the countries.
Oh, it's really an ego thing. Yeah. I mean, think about it. It was the 60s
Oh, yeah,
as
of
well,
course. They're just wanting to be the first one to do it.
Oh, yeah, fully. Yeah. So it was just, but it was also strange that it did end up happening as well.
Yeah.
Because the moon landing was said to be extremely risky and dangerous. Mm. I mean, it was $30 billion Jeez. That it took to get them up Billion. There. And it was even, I mean, John F. Kennedy said in a speech in 1962 that they chose to go because it was hard.
Yeah.
And that it is just an ego thing.
I mean, those astronauts must have got on that ship. Buzz Aldrin and who else was it?
Neil Armstrong.
They must have got on that rocket knowing, like, probably fully convinced they were going to die.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And that's like...
Or maybe they didn't.
Oh, maybe it didn't. Maybe they didn't. If it didn't happen. If it was real, of course, they would have had to have thought, like, like, this is a suicide mission, or if it didn't happen, maybe not.
Yeah, but surely though the government would know if it's, like, so dangerous, they wouldn't send people up, if you know what I mean. But they wouldn't risk people dying in, like, billions of
dollars getting things. They put up... I mean, before they were putting up people, they were putting up, like, what, monkeys and dogs?
Yeah, listen, they I don't think they're worried about killing their own people, as you're going to talk about.
Exactly. That's also really one of the main arguments against that, though, is wouldn't the Soviets kick up a fuss if it was so obviously, like...
Right? Fake? Wouldn't they come out
because,
and say...
Because, like, they would 100% try and prove it's a hoax.
I mean, because there's... Sorry, you go.
No, you go.
I was going, because there's not telescopes on the ground, you can see, you know, they planted this flag, and if you could, you know, if it wasn't there, I think, feel like we'd know.
Yeah, exactly, and it's things like that, and honestly, I mean, if they were able to prove that this was fake, if it was fake, it would be such a huge propaganda win for them.
Oh, yeah,
for
of course. I mean, why wouldn't they?
Uh-huh, exactly, but the thing is that in the third edition of the Great Soviet Encyclopedia, for example, they have articles reporting that... What was that?
You gave me a look.
So some random encyclopedia that you've definitely all read.
Like, I know, you gave me a look and I was like...
Just a Great Soviet...
Look at you name dropping these big encyclopedias. Like, oh yeah, according to the...
it had articles reporting it as factual.
Right.
So, yeah. and also the Soviets, it was like, it would have been amazing for them to get someone up, like, before America. But they had been sending unmanned spacecraft.
Yeah.
They got to space first, didn't they?
They got to space first in 1959, yeah.
They couldn't go the full way, though, could they?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, like, I mean, let me see here. I mean, there's just so many things that kind of just bat off each other in this thing. But really, I mean, what... is one of the main questions as well is, I mean, who made the fake?
Yeah.
Who made the moon landing if it was fake?
Yeah, I mean, people say Hollywood, but I'm like, who's Hollywood? It was done in Hollywood. And I'm like, you're just telling me no one would, you know, speak out about that. And,
exactly.
You know, I have a question.
You just kill them if they spoke out about it.
I mean, I'll get on to mine, but... So do you know did Russia end up going... to the moon long after America did, you know?
I don't believe so. I think they might have gotten up to... you might have to fact check me on this, but I'm pretty sure they got up in the next 6 months.
Right, okay, so pretty soon after.
Pretty soon after. But so basically, people believe that the fake was made... in the 1980s, the Flat Earth Society accused NASA of faking the landings, arguing that it was staged by Hollywood, and it was very, very strange mixture of people. It had Walt Disney sponsorship.
Right.
It had a script by a man called Arthur C. Clarke, and it was directed by Stanley Kubrick, who did The Shining and The Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
2001, A Space Odyssey.
Exactly. So he might have had a bit of experience in that field before he made 2001.
That's interesting. Well, he made that 2001 before the moon one, so it looks so realistic when you look at it now. So maybe that's why they chose him, because it was so realistic.
Maybe. Do you want to hear some more theories?
Absolutely, yeah, go on.
So, the next one is just about just NASA funding and prestige.
Right.
I mean, loads of conspiracy theories claim that, like, they probably just faked the landing to avoid the humiliation of losing to the Russians.
Right.
Like, just so they could keep getting that funding that they had, NASA raised about $30 billion to go to the moon. And they claimed in the book that I mentioned earlier that had been used to pay off many people instead of spent on actually going to the moon.
What kind of people do you think? shady people.
Possibly.
Probably workers, you know, people around doing research and stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's a film set. You'll have loads of people there.
Yeah.
So have to pay them all off.
I mean, someone has to build the set as well. You know, I mean, so much goes into making a film set.
Exactly,
you know, and
it's
like, there's no way you can keep that many people's mouths shut. Yeah. So probably a lot were paid off if that was.
Oh, loads of NDAs.
Oh, yeah, of course, man.
I know, but yes, and also, like, just for prestige, John F. Kennedy in 1961, he said that his goal was, before this decade is out, a man landing on the moon and returning safely to Earth was what he wanted.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe they were just trying to fulfill that, because it was at the end of the 60s, I believe it was 69, that they managed to land on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, time was crunching by that point.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And it was just, it was at a point in time in America where they really, really needed wins like that. Like,
yeah.
That what I'm going to get onto later and stuff like that is, like, it was during the time of the Cold War, the Vietnam War, everything like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Do you know how many times we've been to the moon?
Okay, loads of times now.
You ever seen that film?
I'll check that.
Apollo 13. Right, it's like, they go to the moon, then it fucks up, so they have to, like, go round the moon and come back, and they still survive.
I know, that's crazy. That's crazy. I know. Aren't there people stuck in space right now?
Is there?
I swear there.
I think they got back, actually.
Did they get back?
Yeah, humans have landed on the moon 6 times. Oh. So that's Apollo 11, Apollo 12, Apollo 14, 15, 16, and 17, all in 1969 to 72.
They all stopped.
That. But that was just America and NASA.
Yeah, we don't know of it from different countries.
Yeah, so.
They just got bored of it.
Well, I think it comes to a point where it's like, well, what's. Like, we've been there, it was the whole.
Largely,
you know,
actually, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's with the rover and stuff. I think it gets to a point, once you've been there once, twice, three times, it's like, I know they're still doing kind of research and collecting rocks, but it's not really the most inhabitable place.
Uh-huh.
And it's not, like, we kind of know what's up there. So we're not super keen to, I guess, look into it that much more.
Yeah, exactly. But,
yeah, no, you were mentioning JFK as well, which is another interesting theory, which we won't be getting into today. But the assassination of JFK. A lot of spooky government rumours about that,
know,
and who did that.
Very much so.
But so on you go, yeah.
So yeah, let me move on. So the Vietnam War. So in 2009, the American Patriots Friends Network, very long name for no reason.
You like our references, don't you?
Well, I love a good reference.
I know, name dropping it all, man, come on.
Well, basically, they claimed in 2009 that the landings were just help from the United States to basically just help people ignore and pretend like the Vietnam War wasn't happening.
Right.
It happened right around the Vietnam War and all of these other space landings that they also believe wasn't real in the 70s. This all happened around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And loads of the crew landings ended really, really suddenly. Like,
really?
Loads, like, things like that were happening. And they thought that was just them ending their involvement in the war.
Right.
But really, it was just the landings weren't even that sudden. It was just a federal budget thing.
Right.
But really, because the NASA's budget peaked in 1966, but fell by 42%.
Jesus.
By 1972. So in less than 10 years, they had dropped just under half of their budget, which is horrible. That's probably why they were trying to get that money back.
Yeah.
They were trying to get their funding. But yeah, another reason why people mainly believe is, I mean, the photographic evidence.
Right.
The photographic evidence, I mean, loads of people that really believe that the moon landing was fake really, really focus on the photos as well.
And
really
the videos as well.
And the videos, and the videos. Just all these little oddities that are happening in film and photo that are being taken of the moon.
I mean, have you seen the videos where they're pure hopping about the moon? Have you seen the, you know, when they're pure? I mean, it does look a little bit strange and almost sped up. I don't know
how would they do it, though, if it wasn't?
Well, people say, you know, they used wires on a Hollywood set, and then, you know, because they gave a little kind of jumpy bounce. So people say it was wire work. People say it's sped up and it's all kind of weird looking. Because when you do look at the footage, it does look, you know, sort of strange,
just
you know.
Strange.
Right, like, and there's just, the background is just completely black, absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, it's just weird to look at, do you know what I mean? And maybe it is just because it's on the moon. But
it's one of those things where it's like, was it just the 60s?
Yeah.
or was it fake?
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Maybe it was just horrible camera equipment.
And for the time, probably like, was, especially getting something on the moon. You'd probably have to encase it in all sorts. You know, you don't know what's going to happen when you go out there.
Exactly, like that. And I mean, one of the main like things that people focus on in photos and stuff like that is little like crosshairs and things. Yes. Kind of in the... Yeah. And like behind objects and things like that.
I know that one.
And like the cameras were fitted with things called a resu plate.
Right.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But basically, it was a clear glass plate that had a rectangle etched in it, making it basically impossible for any like photographed object to appear in front of that grid.
Yeah.
So people really use that as evidence, because how did those crosshairs get there?
Yeah, behind, yeah. Like, it is an interesting thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so, honestly, it's such an interesting theory. Like, yeah.
And probably one of the most popular in the world.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, spoke about more than, you know, God knows what. But I mean, it's
probably one of the original, like, conspiracy theories.
Yeah, honestly.
It's been around since the 70s.
So. I know. And a lot of people firmly believe that it didn't happen. Like, people genuinely will sit and tell you.
I
mean,
there's always a chance. But, you know.
What are your opinions?
So, I personally. I defend that it did happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to me, when people, you know, they'll sit and say that it did, I don't personally believe it, but I think there is a few weird parts about it where I'm like, that is a bit strange, but that's just the way the world works, possibly. Or maybe there's more to it, and, you know.
You never know.
Some people say they don't believe it's true, or they do believe it's true, but I just have to say, like, look at the documents. Have people who think it's true looked at the documents? I think not.
Like, you're talking about like the blueprints for the rockets and all sorts.
They never go into a research when they're like, oh, it's true. They're just kind of like, oh, yeah, it has to be true.
Yeah. A point people make on that is the documents. To fake going to the moon, you'd have to fake hundreds and, you know, thousands of pages worth of documents, blueprints for these rockets, science, research, you know. So it's, that is a part. I'm pretty sure they lost either footage or they lost a lot of the documents or something, which was evidence to why it did happen, and I think they lost it, which was quite suspicious. But I don't know. Don't quote me on that. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah, I think, really, for me, I think it's like, maybe it might have been easier for them to fake it, but if they're going through all that effort still to fake it, why not just at least try and do it? And maybe it was successful.
Yeah.
I personally also believe that it probably... did happen, but coincidences like that I do just find really, really interesting.
I agree,
I
think it is.
The world works like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think it's just looking for something, though, when there's nothing? So you
possibly, I mean, people do that a lot of the time with theories, when oftentimes when they don't want to believe something so crazy has happened, they
like
look for other...
Like something perfectly winds up and they're like, oh, this is proof. Like, sorry,
So yeah, that was very interesting.
Yeah, that was my theory today. So yeah,
I feel like I feel like you have so much more than me. I feel like I'm unprepared for this.
So do you want to start your theory?
I do. So we're gonna be getting into our first theory. CIA mind control experiments, right? Which CIA get up to a lot of dodgy stuff. Let's just say that. I think we've all heard our fair share.
I've heard some.
So I'm gonna be talking about MK Ultra, which is one of the kind of wildest things the CIA have ever been publicly caught up in. Mm-hmm. So basically, it was a covert program run by the CIA during the early 50s throughout to the 60s, which was aiming to crack the code on mind control, and do mind control.
Yeah.
So the agency wanted to understand how to manipulate and control the human mind, with goals that ranged from interrogation to information extraction, you know, and even creation of like sleeper agents, being able to get people to do stuff when they're not aware that they're doing it, all that kind of research that they've done behind the scenes. The program operated in total secrecy for years, even from other parts of the US government, so not just the CIA, so from other parts it was actually, you know, people were involved with it. And it was, I mean, it was pretty terrifying, the stuff that they did, you know, like dosing people up with LSD, sleep deprivation, electroshock, hypnosis, and even isolating people for long times, and, you know, just seeing people, and it's so morally wrong, I feel like, testing on people.
Do you think any of it worked?
Well, I'll get into it and we'll see.
I think the most terrifying part about that is kind of thinking that, like, a government that we have that is such a big power in the world is trying to do things
and they're
like
doing
control
these things.
Our minds.
Yeah,
or they is, but like, in like a more kind of.
I know, but you know, it's the fact that he's
away, you know?
Like, we talk about it, like, oh, that's crazy, but a lot of these documents come out and they become declassified, and you're like, oh my god, there's no way they actually did that on people, and I'll get into a few of the things that they did, because I mean, it was absolutely awful.
It's crazy how, like, such horrible things can, like, further our world so much.
I know, it's crazy. So, I mean, often these experiments are also done without the participants' consent or knowledge, so they don't even know they're being experimented on, which is very, you know, messed up on many levels.
Yeah.
So, what people, the first kind of theory is that the CIA wanted the kind of, it's called the ultimate brainwashing theory. And this theory holds that the CIA's end game was to gain power to brainwash anybody. So people believe that the agency wanted to develop techniques to force confessions from spies or turn normal people into like assassins without them even knowing it. There was a lot of kind of, they wanted to go both ways with extracting information, you know, hypnotizing people, mind controlling them to get them to tell them secrets if they had captured like a Russian spy or something, or even just turn people into like assassins and they don't even know it, so their mind's under control, so they'll go and they'll shoot someone,
so
and they'll be like,
and they're just like,
what is that?
They just hear a word and they're like turned on. And
pretty much, and then they'll go and do. So that was kind of their end goal in the kind of ultimate brainwashing theory.
What's that scene in what's that movie? The one with Taron Egerton. Kingsman?
Yes.
In the church? Yeah, yeah. That's crazy. Imagine just like having...
And the fact that I know it's a theory, but we kind of know this has almost definitely happened. So according to the declassified documents, scientists actually succeeded in getting people to carry out small acts which they wouldn't normally do. So it doesn't mean necessarily going out and killing someone, but something you wouldn't normally do, they've managed to brainwash you using, you know, God knows what, you know, under hypnosis to do these things.
Really, really kind of like small things they try to do. But if you don't like brown toast, you start eating brown toast or something.
But even something like that, I know it sounds as silly as that, but even something as small as that, getting someone, hypnotising and brainwashing someone and controlling them to be able to do something that they don't want to do.
I definitely work that thing.
I mean, where's the line of like, well, if you can do that, then what else can you do?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's kind of like, it's very, very crazy. But theorists actually believe that they went even further, developing techniques that could hypothetically be used to create a program called a sleeper agent, or to create, you know, basically a sleeper agent who will be activated, like you said, from a word or something that will basically, they'll be being a normal person. As soon as they hear this activation word, they'll turn like...
It'll trigger something.
Yeah, it'll trigger something and cause them to be a sleeper agent, which can be used for assassinations, I mean, anything. I mean, it's terrifying.
They used it on Donald Trump.
You
see the two people called Donald Trump, they might have been sleeper agents, you never know.
From the CIA?
They just got the blame for it, yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's a whole other bag of theories there, the Donald Trump assassination. I mean, that was crazy, by the way. I mean, you see the odds of like...
Was it actually die? So it was a failed assassination?
No, the attempt, if he didn't turn his head that second, it like clipped him.
Crazy.
I mean, it's mental, isn't it? It's a shame.
Maybe it was a publicity stunt, I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's to put a gun to aim it that close to someone's head. I think that's pretty,
it's
you
wild.
Know.
I was a bit off it, like putting my head in like, the poles and shit. So, like, but yeah, you're just too perfect. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's crazy just like, being a civilian, you know, carrying out an order only to forget it about it all later. I mean, and they can be held accountable, but not know they were even being mind controlled. And if they'll get arrested, they'll be like, oh, they're an assassin. So many things, like you say, the Donald Trump assassination, if that person was a sleeper agent, big stretch, you know, and then they forget about it right after it happens. I mean, they'll be taken in and, you know, God knows what, you know.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, I feel like that brings up the topic of, like, how guilty can a person be? I mean, if you're getting mind-controlled, does it, like, how do people, like, even if you could mind-control, how can you, like, calculate the level of how mind-controlled you are? Because maybe your mind is controlled, like... slightly, or maybe you're just get like maybe full mind control, fully you're not in control of anything, or maybe it's something like intrusive thoughts.
Oh, I mean, there's definitely like stuff where, you know, you can semi control the mind, or you can rewire a brain certain ways to do things. I mean, people do that, you know, they rewire their brains to think different ways or think differently. I mean, it's crazy. So I mean, God knows what this government power are you able to do if, you know, if you can...
Well, I mean, this is the same government that used to give women lobotomies.
Yeah, so it speaks for itself. So the second theory people think about MK Ultra is the mind control for the masses. So
the masses. For everyone.
For everyone. Like, so not just an individual person, but try and influence, you know, media and stuff, which I'll get into. So another theory for MK Ultra, it wasn't just about controlling an individual, but influencing the masses. So this theory advocates that by manipulating key figures like politicians, media personalities, or cultural influencers, the CIA could subtly shape public opinion, sway elections, or even stir up fear or patriotism when it suited them. Oh. So when they need, if they need an election to go a certain way, they can use this mind control on the masses and try and stir, you know, the way people think. I mean, it doesn't sound that crazy, but when you start thinking about all the stuff that happens on social media, the way you'll hear something and then your opinion will be swayed, you know, and all sorts of stuff like that.
And advertising and stuff is telling you what to do.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Yeah. It feels like you just live in the... Have you ever seen They Live?
With the sunglasses.
Yeah, with the sunglasses. Yeah. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't seen it, no.
It's a movie where basically this guy, he finds a pair of sunglasses. He finds a pair of sunglasses. It's like an 80s John Carpenter, but it's really good. And he puts the sunglasses on, and when he does, every single advertisement he sees just says, instead of, like, the advertisement, it says, like, buy this. Like, it says the message that he's trying to think of.
Right.
And he sees,
so it
like,
cuts out
everyone,
all the fake, kind of.
There's also, like, isn't there, like, aliens or something
like
that?
Yeah, everyone else is basically an alien.
Yeah, right. Everyone else is.
And they're the ones trying to control it.
Yeah.
Right,
but
okay.
Like, the core of the movie is really about consumerism and how, like, crazy it is in our faces and we don't even realise until... Yeah. I mean, until we either take off or put on the sunglasses.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's...
It feels like...
Yeah, it could be like that. Symbolising something as well
for the way
we see the world. Yeah, that's really interesting. But some claim the experiment's results laid the groundwork for subliminal messaging techniques, which, you know, are used and, you know, it's quite... interesting, like in advertising and in political propaganda. Sorry, it's a tongue twister. So yeah, so again with elections, you know, needing to be swayed a certain way, if they want someone to win that's in their favour, they can, you know, mind control the masses. That's what they say. But I'm not so sure about that one as I believe that as much, but that is definitely one that people believe in that one. I'm going to jump into the next one, which is that the MK Ultra experiments of mind control was actually a cover-up for deeper and scarier research that they were actually doing. So this is where things get deep, right? So some people say the MK Ultra was actually a cover story, and this theory suggests that while the CIA appeared to be examining and experimenting with LSD and hypnosis, they were actually delving into a more advanced kind of technology like telepathy and psychic powers, or even alien technology. And I know it sounds wild, but
yeah, that is crazy. But,
thinking if it's true.
No. Like, I mean, how do you really think that... I mean, why does someone think of something so horrible anyway to cover something up like that? But, I mean, if you think about it, who would ever question something so horrible being a cover-up?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like the more believable option than maybe like another one they're covering up. So what if it is like aliens, for instance? Nobody's going to believe that, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so but anyway, people basically say it was kind of cover up for actually deeper stuff they were doing. Yeah. And although the mind control already sounds messed up, that they were actually, that's the lighter kind of version of what they were doing, and it was actually much deeper and, you know, more conspiracy theorists, you know, that kind of stuff. But I know it's very interesting for sure. And it's tied to the idea that the CIA was investigating, you know, paranormal stuff, and we're trying to create super soldiers with psychic abilities to get a leg up in the Cold War, you know, so trying to experiment on these kind of soldiers, you know. And there was a lot of things that went on that the CIA did to kind of try and create the super soldier, feed them on LSD, give them these drugs, which are now today banned in society, but they were actually used a lot back in the day to...
Yeah, I mean, they are still today. You have...
In sketchy ways.
I mean, there's, like, clinics and stuff like that that do... you can get...
Like ketamine therapy.
You get ketamine therapy. Is it... psilocybin. Psilocybin they use as treatment to treat things like bipolar and things like that. Shrooms. All things like that. I mean, psychedelics, like, they can... Like, they're used in medical practice still... to this day, but I think, like, because of how, like, demonized and stuff they are, which is probably, like, as well to that, because of MK Ultra, it's really, really, I would say frowned upon,
I mean, the CIA are dodgy people, to say the least. I'm going to talk about a few other things, just to touch on other things that they've done, because it's, I mean, I'm only touching on the MK Ultra situation, but there was loads of other things that they've done.
Oh, yeah,
like the Tuskegee syphilis study, which went from 1932 to 1972.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to summarize it really quickly. In the US, the Public Health Service studied African-American men with syphilis, and they were told they were being treated but were initially left untreated to observe the health, to observe the disease's progress and or the process and how it kind of affected men. And they were told that they were being given treatment, but they actually weren't, and they were left to suffer with this disease.
Yeah, did it kill them, or was it? It's not lethal, though, is it?
Well, yeah, well, actually, it went on to lead to countless deaths, infections, suffering among patients and their families. It actually did, because even when penicillin became widely available, they still refused to give it to them because they wanted to see what this syphilis would actually do to people. And that's,
again, the progression of it in the human body.
The morality level of that is just, it's like terrible to think that they would leave people to be sick to kind of do that.
It's horrible just to kind of see. It's such a hard decision with those kind of things because, I mean, I feel like we've had so many, like, discoveries and things like that because of such horrible,
twisted,
like, experiments like this. But it's, like, it did benefit society in a way at the end of the day.
I mean, have you heard, was there not a Nazi doctor back in who did a lot of experiments on, you know, Siamese twins and all sorts of stuff? And he did a lot of messed up research, but it was actually kind of, We learned a lot from the stuff that he did, which is terrible to think. But there's a lot of bad stuff that goes on.
The greater good, though, you know.
I suppose if you look at it that way, possibly. Another operation is Operation Midnight Climax.
What?
That's what it's called. In the 1950s, basically the CIA set up these safe houses where unsuspecting civilians were given LSD without consent and were observed through two-way mirrors, like, so basically in a room, and they were sat and they were watched through two-way mirrors by agents, and the aim was to study how people reacted under the influence of drugs in real-world settings. And many of these sessions took place in San Francisco and involved prostitutes, adding a kind of disturbing layer to the feature, the layer of ethical kind of violations, because, I mean, putting these people unsuspecting and unconsenting in a room and sitting watching them, like, through a two-way mirror, I mean, it's just, and watching them tweak out on drugs, I guess, it's just terrible.
Has he got something out of it?
Possibly. I mean, I don't know. You'd be the judge of whether you think it was good.
That's horrible, though.
Oh, it's awful.
Because how did they even get these people to... They probably didn't even
know. I mean, probably didn't know what they were getting into.
That's like, it's so easy to, like, transfer it to someone's arm. That's where you can, like, put it in your hand and just, like, shake somebody's hand.
Yeah, and that's then the thing with LSD, is that it's not even if you ingest it, it's if it touches your skin.
Really?
Yeah, it's it touches your skin, it's horrible. It's God. It originally comes in a liquid form.
Right.
And we use it as eye drops sometimes.
I use a lot of it, don't you?
Shut up. and then don't expose us. if it just gets on your clothes, your thing, that's why it's so dangerous.
Right, that is brutal. That was terrible. I mean, it's absolutely shocking. But and the last kind of stuff they did was the Department of Defense of CIA actually kind of proposed conducting terrorist attacks on American soil, such as hijacking planes, such as bombing cities, and blaming it on Cuba just to justify military intervention. I wonder where we've heard that before.
I wonder where. Can you tell us?
Oh, 9/11.
Oh, 9/11. Indeed. Nice little segue into that next one.
So, you know, as we know, 9/11, it was a national tragedy after all, you know?
Yes.
Horrible, horrible. I think it's better just to take you through a timeline and events of 9/11, just so you get the full picture of the
day. I'm excited, mate.
Okay.
I'm excited if you
Sorts. 7:59, right? 7:59, American Airlines flight 11 departs from Boston to LA. Has 81 people on board, all right? 8:14, United Airlines flight 175 departs from the same airport to LA with 56 passengers this time. Alright. At 8:20, American Airlines flight 77 departs from Washington to go to LA. This one's got 58 passengers.
Right.
Then at 8:42, United Airlines flight 93 departs from New Jersey to San Francisco, and this one only got 37, right?
Oh,
that's not a lot of people, mate.
All four of these planes, right, get hijacked by the Al-Qaeda. It was due to a lot of things. It was just their opinion on the West and their culture.
Right.
And it was just kind of frowned upon the way they lived their life, the capitalism and all that. Mm-hmm. They weren't really for that. And Osama, he lived in Saudi Arabia, right? And Saudi Arabia was, like, overrun with America.
Right.
Like, due to oil. And Osama bin Laden's dad, he was, like, one of, like, the people, like, in charge of the oil basically.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
So he came and, like, hate his dad and hate America. Then he started Al-Qaeda and he just kind of turned everybody against him. And that's what kind of thing he did, that's kind of... But anyway, at 8:46, right, Flight 11 crashed into the North Tower.
Oh no.
Of the World Trade Center, right?
Right.
Quite shocking. Mm. Nobody knows if it was an accident or not, though, because some people might think.
So is that the time when people didn't know, right?
Yeah, they didn't know because, right, like, one, like, it might be an accident.
Right, really, of course,
They don't know if it's been hijacked or not. Mm-hmm. But then at 9:03, Flight 175 flies into the South Tower. And,
God.
Then people are starting to catch on. It's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That's like, someone's come over right here. Like, nobody can really get out because, like, all the stairs and lifts are kind of cut off. Yeah. Like, there's only, like, a few of them, so only, like, hardly any people can get out. Mm-hmm. But so folk, like, because, like, the smoke in there is so bad and they can't breathe, mm-hmm, what they just resort to is just jumping off the building.
Really?
And you can see videos online of just people jumping off. It's horrible. Yeah. I mean, grabbing their life.
It's awful that was a better kind of result of life than sitting there and burning in that.
They're dying for suffocation. They thought, they're dying from that. But it just shows probably the easier way out. But anyway, at 9:37, Flight 77 flies into the Pentagon. You know what the Pentagon is?
I don't know what the Pentagon is,
yeah.
I don't really know it. It's like it's a hub for all the military and stuff in Washington.
Yeah.
Don't quote me if it's in Washington. But the crash into the side of that, and they kind of broke one of the walls down. And
is that it?
No, that's it, really.
Oh.
Not too much about that one. But then, as soon as it hits the Pentagon, all flights across the US stop. Like, for a good few days, and they're like, yeah, we don't want any more of these kind of hijacked airlines. Yeah.
So how many hijackers were on each plane?
There was two in each plane. There was two in each plane. Don't quote me in that, because I'm just making that completely
up. Yeah, I was going to say, there wasn't two in each plane. There was more.
I think there were two, but they...
You think there was two? Yeah,
so the hijackers, they gained control over the plane by using box cutters. So they saw box cutters on the plane, because security wasn't done by the government at that time. It was private security.
Right.
Oh. So the private security didn't really pat them down that well. Mm-hmm. And they managed to sneak box cutters on and take people hostage and take over the plane.
What were their names?
What was their names? I don't fucking know.
I don't think we know all of the names of the assailants.
Nah,
of the attackers, right. We know the majority of them.
Do we?
Yeah, there was about four, I think, on each plane.
Yeah, they were real. They were jerks, to say the least.
Real bad guys.
Jerks.
Right, I'll get back to it. South Tower collapses after 56 minutes of being hit.
What time did it collapse?
Collapses after 56 minutes.
So it
gets hit at 9:03 and it collapses 56, so it basically like 10 o'clock.
Easily.
Close
enough,
9:59.
But how did the towers like crumble?
I'll get on to that in a minute.
Are you steady on stuff?
Steady on, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. But then at 10:03, right, Flight 93, like the fourth flight, that's just crashed into like a random field.
Why did it crash?
In Pennsylvania. A lot of people say that the passengers like regained control over it and kind of took it down.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really many people.
Maybe that's what I always thought, but now we don't actually know, because again, no one on the plane to tell us what happened.
Did everyone on the planes die?
Everyone died.
Yeah, people say they took a trolley and they rammed it through the door and they took the nosedived the plane so no one else got, because I'm pretty sure they heard word of what happened on the ground. Mm-hmm. And people told here these planes have crashed, and they were like, oh, this is going to happen to us. Mm-hmm. So to save more lives, they actually kamikazed the plane themselves.
Right. So after that, the South Tower collapses after 102 minutes. That kills 1,600 people in this one.
Wow.
So first tower kills 800, second kills 1,600. You do the maths in that, so a lot of bodies.
How many exactly?
2,400. All right. South Manhattan is then evacuated. The whole of South Manhattan.
Yeah.
Nobody's there. But there's only 18 total survivors in the World Trade Center. There were both towers. Only 18 of them that were in the building that managed to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Or the ones that were in the rubble.
Yeah.
Jesus. We get into his conspiracies about it. The first conspiracy is about the controlled explosions.
Oh.
Mm.
So they might have done a controlled explosion. People believe they were destroyed intentionally using explosives rather than impact from the planes. Because you saw the planes go in, right?
Mm-hmm.
The planes hit it. But, like, the way they fall, right? They fall, like, straight vertically down.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, they fall into, like, right in deep pills. And, like, see if you see, like, controlled, like, explosion stuff.
Yeah.
It falls exactly the same.
So, just to clarify, so is this the government you're saying that had done the controlled explosions?
It was either the government or forces we don't know of,
right,
that intentionally planned it, and the plane was just kind of a cover up for the building going down itself, because right, they might not have known if the plane hit it, mm-hmm, it'd go fully down.
Yeah,
but maybe they just wanted it to go down in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And also the planes, there's a common theory. It's like steel beams have a melting point, and mm-hmm, it's quite high. Then jet fuel has another melting point, or it has a burning rate.
Yeah,
but that burning rate isn't high enough.
Yeah, right.
So it couldn't melt the steel beams.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like pictures of like the way like they're like being damaged.
Yeah, the beams are
really natural.
Right.
And they don't look like they're melted. Like,
interesting.
People
yeah
say they are. So about the controlled explosion, the World Trade Center had another building. Like, they had a few other buildings. It was called Building 7, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Building 7 on 9/11, a few hours after it, that goes down the exact same way.
Oh, really?
It's weird. Yeah. So like, it wasn't anything, but it just fell completely the same, and nobody really talks about it because it's just a bit weird.
I know, I've never heard of another building.
Like, yeah, there was one a little later. Can I ask, so what was the motive for the government doing these attacks on themselves?
I'll get into that in a second.
You'll get on to that.
Well, we don't have enough time is what I'm saying. Right, so get into it now.
Right, so I'll tell you. I think they planned the attack to justify the actions of the military. Quite a lot of people feel like they started the attacks or allowed the attacks to happen so they could retaliate back to the Middle East, because
right
there was a war cooking at that time, and they wanted like a reason to just like go ham at them,
get
and
involved
just
and stuff,
fucking mm-hmm, yeah, just demolish them.
Right.
It was to expand the power of government as well.
Interesting.
The reason for starting all this like stuff all over the Middle East, because mm-hmm, well, their oil at least, because they're big in oil there, and they could get more control of the oil.
Right.
And the terrorists like Al Qaeda and ISIS that have a hatred for the West, which kind of like would save them if they didn't attack, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
It's also agreed that they knew the attacks would happen before they happened. So,
right.
I've lost my train of thought here.
How did they know?
They might have had some inside knowledge, because like stock activity at the World Trade Center at the time kind of was in favour of like all these businesses they're shutting down.
Yeah.
So some people might have known, and the government might have known, and they just allowed it to happen and all these people to die.
You know,
just
really
for them to go to the Middle East and bomb them and all that.
There's an interesting point in the Pentagon, apparently, people say
it was hit by a missile or something.
It was that, and also there was a couple, I don't know the figure, but it was a couple billion dollars missing. And or just there was something was going dodgy with the money, and then a plane happened to hit the part of the building where all those documents were kept, and then billions of dollars worth of documents, and where are the government money went? Mm. Went got blown up, so don't know. So
there's only one bit of footage from the Pentagon.
The car
explosion. So it's got a car like a station or something.
Yeah.
But you can hardly see the plane. It's just like
it's laggy,
frame,
yeah.
And you don't know if it's a missile or not, and that's what people were saying.
I think it's interesting that the part of the building that's blown up is where they kept all the you know spending and the accountancy part, and that is the part that got blown up. So uh-huh, loads of documents went missing, and we don't know where a couple billion dollars went. And it's quite suspicious. Was that part of the cover up of trying to get rid of, you know, where they spent billions of dollars? We don't know.
But. Exactly. Well, I mean, I guess we'll never know. Maybe one day we won't.
I know.
But I guess we'll never know. But yeah, I think we will wrap it up
guys.
Well, I think that's been a great episode today.
That's been good.
It's been
all right.
Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. And we'll see you next week for another episode.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.